Going on, everybody. It's mighty dark in here. I should probably cut some lights on a little bit. What's up, everybody? This is episode 15 of the Microsoft Recap. Always with me is my man Mike Bennett. What's going on, bro?
I'm chilling, man. It is looking dark over there, man.
Like, yeah, it's getting them some mood over here.
Yeah, like one of them. I would say it looked like came about to break in. That's what it looked like. We talked about the wrestling before we started this, y'all. I'm just zoning out over here, man. But yo, yeah, it's
1995 to 2000 wrestling. Maybe 2001, I can't remember, but 95 to like that 2001 wrestling, yo.
It was nothing like it, man.
No contest.
Nothing
no
like
contest.
It, man. We had so many good ones, man. The Undertaker resurgence, and you had to remember D-Generation X.
All
Sky T, Hardy, Grandmaster Sexy, The Rock, Stone Cold, all of them. Shawn Michaels came back around. Like it was hot. Mankind was going crazy. Hell in the Cell.
DX.
Yes.
It was all hot. Of them. Hot
it was
fire.
Crazy.
But yeah, man. This is the Microsoft Recap. If you're a fan of the wrestling, man, we might want to just check that little piece. Go ahead and check out some old wrestling. Just get your nostalgia in. But for everybody else, man, we have Microsoft topics for y'all. today, we're going to be talking about a couple things. The number one topic we're going to be talking about is the Microsoft signs a multi-year deal with the NBA for using their Microsoft Azure and Microsoft Surface platform. Second topic that we have is going to be talking about Microsoft subtly sticking a knife into Zoom, because you know Microsoft is tired of Zoom shit and they try to get that money back. And then the last topic that we got, the title's kind of chopped off here. Let me see if I can see it. Microsoft is launching a plasma bot to encourage people who recovered from the virus to donate their plasma as a possible treatment. That's a kind of a crazy topic. We want to talk about that. But for first, the main thing that we want to talk about is that Microsoft is signing a multi-year deal with the NBA for Azure and Surface. If you don't know what Azure is the brand name, it's the trademark name for Microsoft's cloud platform for development and, you know, server data centers and stuff like that. And Surface is basically their device platform, if you want to say, like tablets, laptops, desktops that they sell. Microsoft has essentially signed a multi-year deal with the NBA, similar to a deal that they did with the NFL back in 2013, but this is a little bit more geared around their cloud platform. But essentially, they have this deal where they're going to be offering AI technologies, cloud technologies, and laptops to the NBA so that they can, you know, bring themselves to the 2020th century. just off top, what do you think about this, Mike?
I think that, you know, so it goes back to what we've been talking about with Microsoft all along. For maybe like the past 4 months, man, I think that, so we for everybody that may have missed the episode, go back a couple episodes. We talk about this tech cold war this brewing that's actually happening within the new decade, and how there's going to be a lot of companies that's going to emerge. Probably going to see some crazy companies out of nowhere pop up that, you know, take, you know, technology industry by storm. But one of those things they talk about is how there's going to be a lot of, you know, things, a lot of industries is being covered by the technology industry, like titans. And what Microsoft has been doing over the past, I guess, a couple of months or so, or just maybe it's been in the works for a while, is they have been going into different industries and pretty much dominating. And I think that with so Microsoft has already had the thing pop off with the government, that contract, you know, and Microsoft has a long tenure of producing great things with, you know, government contracting. But also, I guess they're dipping more into heavier into the entertainment industry, with the NBA. And I just think it's another move for them to be to establish dominance as a technology company. I mean, at this point, they're not struggling for anything. Nothing, no one's going to send Microsoft out of business. So I feel like the only reason why they're doing this is for them just to build a stronger brand. And right now, with I think it somehow is what the it's an opportunity I feel like has risen with the NBA kind of being brought to a halt with everything that's going amid the COVID-19. And just looking for maybe, I guess, I feel like the NBA probably was looking for a platform where they'd be able in the future time stream things and broadcast, you know, NBA events in the best way possible. I think Microsoft just sold themselves on it. So I think that's really what's happened is that Microsoft took it upon themselves to take advantage of the opportunity to be the premier service for streaming and our platform, the streaming platform for the NBA. So I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is basically like their archive and stuff. They're allowed to now, you know, they have the NBA app out there. So, you know, you can get all your stats and stuff from that app. And Microsoft Azure essentially is to serve the back end for a lot of that stuff, for a lot of the storage, for the statistics. They said, definitely said that they're going to be putting all their historical archives up there for video. So basically every every match that they had recorded since however long they have their archive, they're basically going to be storing that up into the cloud as well and probably making it accessible through their website and through their app. But having Microsoft at the back end of that, that's a good look for both the NBA and Microsoft, because for NBA, you can definitely guarantee that you got reliability because you got Microsoft as your back end. Mm-hmm. And for Microsoft, yeah, it's a brand in play so that, you know, they can get out there and be known that they're associated with large companies like the NBA. They already, we've been talking about this whole, not the Prism contract. Well, what did they call that? The Jedi contract for the government. With the battle against Amazon and Microsoft. And they seem to currently won that battle right now. You know, Amazon is suing the government trying to hold that deal from happening. But right now it seems like Microsoft is eating off of that right now, especially with this new contract. I like to see what they do going forward, like what new type of technologies they potentially come out with this. I know a lot of people do watch, it's not a lot, but you know, because some people do. People have these VR headsets and they'll watch their games in 360 view. So they have like these courtside 360 cameras where you could basically sit on the 50, it's not a 50 yard line, but it's like the half court line. Mm-hmm. And basically watch the game from any angle, like you sitting right there. So I'm sure that Microsoft is going to be involved with that a little bit more. And usually most of that is done through like the Oculus Rift. So that's a good play for Microsoft because it still gets them at the back end, which gets them at the most important part of it. But it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think that what's going to happen here is so – again, I just look at it. At the end of the day, it's always brand dominance, and somehow when you're dealing with entertainment, I feel like it falls more along the lines of from a business standpoint, like a direct response marketing approach, right? So, and even in technology industry, so marketing is something that every industry needs, regardless of what the industry is. And I think that this is what ultimately what Microsoft is kind of using this as like something where they establish, you know, their brand. And then get people to buy in on the front end. Be it there, you know, the NBA is at a down point right now with everything going on with the coronavirus. So with people constantly seeing Microsoft somewhere with on the banner, with on like the screen or something like that, like being like right now this is being saved or whatever on Microsoft Azure. You know, then that gets people to buy anything on like what Microsoft Azure is. And then so what I'm getting at is that there's money to be made on the back end, meaning that after people buy into, you know, the brand and say that, okay, Microsoft is something more than just like a technology company for just regular office use or government use, then that gets people to buy, to pay attention to and buy into their products, probably more based for entertainment, you know, after they've bought into the brand. So I think it's just smart play. And then it's a win on both sides because the from what I believe, I could be wrong, but I think that the NBA, as far as now, there's a lot of money that's thrown around in the NBA. NBA players make more money than like NFL players, but I feel that the NFL is more.
It's a larger
audience. So with the NBA, not saying they're struggling to be, you know, struggling to have any type of like airplay or anything, but as far as where they are in the entertainment industry right now, the NBA, they could use some backing or something that would get more people to watch the games, be a part of the basketball industry. And yeah. I think with Microsoft, it's one of those things where it's like cross branding as well, where maybe a lot of people who don't really watch, a lot of people who are like techies or on like the heavy technology side for Microsoft don't really watch basketball, but they find out NBA is now associated with Microsoft. Maybe that can do something as far as like get the numbers up. So I think it's a good brand play for both ends. And it's just you got to wait to see what comes of it. I would say I haven't really done an in-depth analysis as far as which cloud service is the best between Google, Microsoft, and then Amazon. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Microsoft ain't bad. I know they ain't hurting because
technically they're number two. Microsoft, Amazon is number one by far. Microsoft is number two, and then Google is technically number three. I think this might be a good play for. I don't even know if this really would be, but I would assume that this would be a good play for Microsoft when it comes to their Xbox platform because of gaming. A lot of people do play NBA Live and NBA 2K, and if when it comes to like having stats in game and having updated characters, updated players, you got new athletes coming into the sport, and then they update it in game. Having that type of access, I don't know if they actually built this into their contracts or not, but having that type of access would give them some type of benefit toward those games, maybe and maybe not, because I think those games are created by EA and 2K games, I think that is. So it might not mean anything, but it could mean something for them for their Xbox
extension. Could spill over, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go on to the next topic, man. Next topic that we have is that Microsoft subtly sticks the knife into Zoom. The subhead reads is that the new ad for Microsoft Teams presents a perfectly sly attempt to differentiate it from privacy challenged Zoom. If you haven't heard now, Zoom is probably one of the hot new video conferencing platforms that's out, and along with being the new hotness, they got a lot of scrutiny coming at them because they're found out to be not the most secure platform, and a lot of people are looking for some type of alternative, and Microsoft is pushing Teams to be that alternative for people. One of their number one selling points that they have is the fact that they are a secure platform by far. They work with a lot of government entities already to provide video conferencing services. So it's only really a secondary step for them to be able to provide those same video conferencing security features for everybody else. This commercial that they have going out there basically promoting the use of the service by talking about how all these other companies use it. They had like a representative from L'Oreal, some representative from St. Luke's University Hospital Network, somebody from the London Metropolitan Police Department. They basically are just looking at all these companies that need security for their video conferencing software and using them as an example to say, look how secure the platform is. Most of them probably don't necessarily know whether it's secure or not. Right. Like they don't know. they're not doing the due diligence, but those are companies that would be examples of other companies that would, you know, need that type of security. So they created this this advertisement campaign to push the agenda. So what do you think about this, Mike?
I think that it has merit, be it that so with Zoom having with the rise of Zoom now, with everything happening, you know, with the just all that was going on with the virus stuff, of course, just from a QA perspective, you know, I do QA, meaning that I kind of break the things the developers make, right? But you can see how whenever there's a lot of things happening with an app, it requires more testing. And I think because there's been this like surge of new users with Zoom, of course, with that, it's going to come different challenges because different use cases, they call it, probably didn't pop up before because they didn't have that much usability. And I think what Microsoft is doing, being that they're more seasoned, they have more money to invest, and they have more, I get that their brand is stronger. They're taking it, the opportunity to, with this ad and with putting teams to the front, potentially try to crush the incoming competition before it actually gets steam. You know, because I think I'll backpedal and say this too. We use Microsoft Teams where I work at, and Microsoft Teams has some challenges too, because same thing. Maybe not security wise, but there's been a couple of times already within the past month and a half, maybe 2 months, where we weren't able to use it. Something was happening with Teams where we weren't able to access the videos, somehow everybody's voice gets choppy. So Microsoft has its issues as well, but I think what they're doing, the word security in itself is like a hot button for everybody, because everyone wants to be secure. Everyone wants to have, you know, something where they can depend on that and say, depend on whatever it is they're using and know that nothing crazy is going to happen. They're not going to get any nudity pics. No one's going to flash any scary, anything wild on the screen, nothing like that. Or, you know, somebody start typing on their computer or start seeing characters typing. No one wants to have those type of issues, because that's like for the layman, they see these things all the time in like movies, and, you know, that kind of blows people's minds. Like, they don't know what's happening. But I think Microsoft is just taking the opportunity to use that hot button for people who are not really deep into technology as a way to drive home that their platform, Microsoft Teams, is the one to go with. Not necessarily because it's just completely better, but it's because it's, again, more secure, and that you don't have to necessarily worry about, even though it may break down, your data is still protected. You know what I mean? So I think that, again, it's just now how they're going about doing it, I think it's funny, right? As far as advertising goes, I think it's always interesting when you're able to play on the weakness, like a real weakness of of your competitor. They can actually be seen and exploit that as a way to put yourself to the top. And that's really, if for your competition, if you're using that and you're competing against someone, it's very difficult for them to, I guess, develop a counterattack, because it's something that has to either be fixed, or you have to expose something similar about that to what you're doing. And it's kind of, it was almost like, I feel like with Zoom having the sauce, so I put it, and it's funny, I use this analogy where everybody, if you're not familiar with NBA too much, you know, you have Michael Jordan. It was like maybe back in like 97, I think, maybe 97. And, you know, Allen Iverson was like the new, like, hot kid on the block. And everybody always talks about how, you know, Allen Iverson came and he crossed up Jordan. And everybody was like, oh, snap, like, you know. But people forgot that Jordan still dropped 35 and won that game. You see what I'm saying? Like, right. People forget that. So I look at it like Microsoft being the Michael Jordan of the game. They seasoned vets. You know, they know how things go, and you had this new kid on the block to give them that cross up. Like, oh, they didn't see that coming, you know, but right. They had taken it upon themselves now to like, let's get back to doing what we do best, which is showing the difference between, you know, the people who are just coming up, like that, you know, that the new kid on the block, and, you know, let's take some of that hotness so we let them know who's still running the game. And I think that's what they did with this whole campaign. And it's I don't think it's going to completely kill Zoom, because, you know, people are using Zoom, but it is a way for Microsoft to kind of like I guess keep that dominance there. Like, you know, don't forget with Microsoft.
Keep that brand loyalty.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you're already using Office 365. I mean, it gives them the tool that if they already have Office 365 in their pocket, then they don't have a reason to even go anywhere else. They can just stay with Microsoft for everything and just ignore Zoom altogether. Like, Zoom is one of those platforms where it's like, if you don't have any alternative, then use Zoom, but you shouldn't be using Zoom for your like go-to.
Yeah. That's what y'all do, yeah. Which y'all promoted as such.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's sort of like Slack in that way. Like, you know, Slack is there because it serves a need, but if there's another platform that is more streamlined and, you know, works with everything and you know it's secure, then you might as well just stick with that other platform. You don't necessarily need to have Slack.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to have Zoom. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's optional software, and you should just really second consider that option. If Zoom is your number one option, you should look for a number two.
I will. Now, let me ask you. So, we talk about Microsoft Teams, but people don't know if anybody that's out there that ain't really like deep into like the Microsoft products. The I guess more so the video conferencing and the calling. It's been improved a little bit, but it's built on top of Skype.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's still built on top of Skype. So, and everybody knows that like Skype had issues with, you know, you couldn't save the messages and all that stuff like that. Skype for Business wasn't really that. Wasn't all that. I would still say that Zoom may be better than Skype. Like Skype Business is still a thing for some places, or maybe some smaller companies that can't afford, you know, you've got to buy into, you know, Microsoft Teams in order to use it, but you still use Skype. I would say, and I don't know if it's as far as security, and that's probably not, you know, probably not as secure, but I still think that, you know, Zoom would be a better option over like Skype, because you're able to save calls and like save messages and save
Skype is good for security's sake, because they've been around for so long that they probably been through these trial and tribulations. But yeah, Zoom probably got a more like functional features that makes just Zoom a little bit of a better product. It does have like features that are like cool and be like, all right, if I got to manage a room of 250 people, then it's usable. But I mean, companies like Google Teams, Microsoft with Teams, they definitely picking up on this steam. They be like, we got to put this in the, we got to nip this in the bud.
Yeah, but try out real quick.
And, I mean, that's what you got to do when you're a top company, man.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about this last topic. This is an interesting topic. It's pretty unique. Microsoft is launching a plasma bot to encourage people who recovered from the virus to donate their plasma as a possible treatment. This is proactive COVID-19 application that they're putting out there to try to help deal with the situation as it stands. But essentially what they're going to be doing, amongst all the other people that's working with the COVID-19 mission, they're looking into offering a chat bot, essentially a digital assistant, an AI, that will essentially be used to help you try to they're trying to find people that have already had the coronavirus and have recovered from it, and trying to look and see if they can use the plasma from their blood to be able to create a antidote, to build up the antibodies to be able to inject other people with this blood, with this plasma, to be able to use that to prevent them from getting the COVID-19, or to be able to use it to create some type of medicine for the COVID. But essentially, instead of them running around, you know, doing manual surveys to ask everybody, have you had COVID-19? Have you had COVID-19? They're creating this chat bot. Yeah.
The mic on folk like, do you? So, how was your experience with COVID?
How was it? Like, 1 out of 10. How do you rate COVID-19? Right. Like, that's essentially what they're doing. They trying to figure out how they're going to actually implement this. They really didn't talk about how they're going to implement this overall, because, you know, when it comes to to like chat bots, Microsoft really doesn't, isn't, they're not like on the top of this. Like you don't really hear about them in AI too often. It's usually either Google, Facebook, Amazon with their Alexa type thing. Mm-hmm. But you never really hear about Microsoft being in the game for creating like digital assistants or any type of chat, like artificial intelligence thing. But particularly this chatbot will essentially be used as a survey system. You can talk to it and it'll ask you the questions, go through the survey to figure out whether you actually had it or not. And if you had it, it'll ask you, do you want to donate your blood? And it'll actually give you locations to go ahead and donate your plasma. They never actually told you if you get like anything for it, if it's like a lollipop or if it's just like, you know, voluntary. like, dude, just, you know, being a good citizen and whatnot. But like, ideally, it's supposed to be used to help people out. What do you think about this?
I mean, I would hope somebody getting more than lollipops, man. I mean,
you get a cookie and a lollipop, man. You get your blood, man. Cookie and a lollipop.
And a coloring sheet. That's what you get. Yeah. But I think that, so two things. I feel that it's good for humanitarian reasons, trying to find those who are willing to contribute something to cause the stop, to lessen the spread of this virus or to get rid of it completely. Side note, I'm not really big on shots, so I don't know, but as far as overall, I think it's good for them to kind of put in that initiative. I think also at the same, so part of it from a business standpoint is you got to recognize opportunities and capitalize on them. And like what you said, Mike, you pointed out that this is good. Microsoft really doesn't have too much talk in spaces of AI and like artificial intelligence and what's the other one? AI. It's like
AIG like chat bots. Like
yeah, yeah. Like they're not really big up on game like
they,
that.
So. They had one chatbot. I remember they had on Twitter. It was like a little boy that they created. It was like a fake chatbot that, you know, talked through Twitter. And people ended up hacking. They gamified the chatbot where they ended up. they turned it into a racist. Yeah, I mean, they sent enough messages to it where it started understanding those messages. You know, you try to understand and identify, and it ended up becoming a racist essentially. Yeah, I mean, so they had to cut the chatbot off. Yeah, I mean, that's the last major intervention that they had with it. And they had, you know, they had Cortana, but now they don't do Cortana at all. They basically act like Cortana don't even exist.
Like, yeah, we only heard nothing about that, man. I was feeling the whole Cortana vibe because it tied in different things. But I think that from a vendor standpoint, that's funny, man. I'm gonna look that up, man. I'm gonna YouTube that. See.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of what they called that chatbot, but people were gaming the hell out of it, sending messages to it. Next thing you know, it's starting to talk about Nazism and KKK and like God. And they made it act. They were trying to treat it like a 10-year-old boy, so it was like a kid chatbot. They did that thing dirty, man.
Right. Kill that initiative.
Yeah, you gotta get that out of the public. Took over.
Microsoft is good for that, man. I can't remember the last time hearing anything crazy about Microsoft as far as, you know, they own some. You may hear some stuff here and there, but it's not as prominent as like an Apple or Google for some reason. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely not a Facebook. From a business standpoint, I feel that they are taking advantage to get into dip their toe a little bit into the AI sphere of technology as a way, again, to just try to establish sometimes either get a piece of the pie or maybe even establish dominance in something using their brand and their this opportunity to show concern for the people. That's always a good thing, is that people always feel like, you know, they feel good when you're trying to help them and not sell them. Right. Yeah. So, you know, but them putting this out there again, I think this is they've taken the opportunity to try to find their way into an industry where they don't really hold dominance yet, but they can based on their brand and based on how they service that niche. So I think.
Yeah. I feel like if yeah, if they can't get in, if they can't get into the consumer space and, deal with all the people on the general public, they can put themselves into like enterprise areas with AI and, work on particular projects, whereas, let Amazon and let Google work in the public domain, and Microsoft is just sort of working with these B2B enterprise companies and just building out AI that's just geared toward whatever that specific company needs. It's one of those things. Microsoft, I mean, they got a lot of money. Anytime I see a trillion-dollar companies, man, I think we're talking about this with Apple and Google. Trillion-dollar companies do trillion-dollar things, man.
Yeah, that's
So,
what it is. And what's interesting though, I think about see what and this is what I kind of like about app like well, about Microsoft is that like when you compare them to an Apple, let's look at Apple. You probably wouldn't hear anything like this like coming from Apple. They got the Apple Watch. They probably saved a life or two with that. I mean, that's good. But Apple is primarily on like the consumer side. They're more so for they have a I think when it comes to consumer-driven technologies, they have a stronger brand in Microsoft. But Microsoft just has established a footprint in so many different areas and subsets of tech of the IT industry that they are. It's like they spread themselves wide. Because I guess this is like a it's a network marketing theme, right? But it's always you find that you're able to have more money and more. I guess it's eventually take things over. How wide you get when you're different and different, like you establish different legs, I guess you say. But I think that's what Microsoft has done, and then Apple has gone more so like they've driven depth where they have a strong presence that probably won't go anywhere anytime soon with their consumers, but they haven't really spread themselves as wide as Microsoft has. So if Microsoft capitalizes on this opportunity, they can put themselves in a position where they can have even more money than Apple. But at the same time, have more industries unlocked than Apple does, and that establishes more dominance down the line. Because if you can take, if you, if they can find a, if Microsoft can find a way, now I don't think it'll happen in our lifetime. But if they can find a way to kind of take that seat that Apple is in, I don't know what Apple's going to be as a company because they haven't really,
I mean, and in all actuality, when you look at some of the stuff that they got planned with the hardware, I mean, it kind of looks like they had a potential to try some things out. They got these new phones that they got coming out. They're actually getting into creating their own laptops now. So, I mean, I looked at the new Surface Pro laptop. It's not a tablet. It's a full-on laptop, but that thing looks beautiful, like an Apple. Like a hot, like a MacBook, like it's aluminum finish and all of that. So,
It got that same air as like when you first seen that MacBook, you was like, oh snap. Now that's what
yeah,
the Surface got, yeah.
like when you touch it and it's cold, and it's got that cold steel feel. Yeah, but I see where you're going with it. Like they trying to go that route in a lot of ways, and I mean the fact that they have that back end of the cloud and building foundational technology. Like they don't really focus on a lot of consumer stuff nowadays. They definitely really focus on building things for enterprise level for larger than them ideas. And that's sort of where they make a lot of money and they have a lot of dominance there. So I mean it would be good. It's gonna be good to see what they do going forward. Yeah, if Apple's one of those companies where yeah, a lot of this stuff is based on a reputation, and reputation is one of those shaky things. They could easily just sort of drop out of that place because it happened to them before.
That's it. Yeah. They recovered, but it did, and that's crazy you pointed out because it did happen before. And I think they're trying to hold the, that's why. And this is not an Apple show, but I think if you look at a lot of the articles we've done on Apple, and a lot of this stuff is like, if it's not like morally silly things, like they're just doing stuff that doesn't make sense. They are you can kind of they show some desperation. I remember we did that talk about. They were trying to shoot down a Chromebook and handing out iPads in Chicago. Everybody, this is what this is what you resort to when you desperate times call for desperate measures, man. So it's something, that's something to look to watch, especially within the next 10 years. Like if there's something where, Microsoft does become like a name within AI, And what, you know, everything kicks off with the consumer driven technology, like with the Surface Pro and stuff like that. Now, you never know. We may see the fall of a trillion dollar company. And this
is a health move too. This is a health move. I mean, we're talking about getting into like health technologies and, you know, wearable tech and stuff like that. I mean, this is a health move. There's a lot of data collection that could be happening right here. Yeah. And I mean, it'll put them in a position where all they got to do is just come out with a slick watch. I mean, we still waiting for the one that does the glucose meter. Like whoever figures out the glucose situation for diabetics, they the ones that's going to run.
You in there.
that's real. Yeah. That's a real problem that needs to be solved.
Right. That joint is still running amok amid COVID-19, man. You find that out, you like, bro, yeah.
Yeah.
You in there.
You got diabetes. I mean, you ain't really concerned about COVID-19. You worried about your diabetes. Like, that's what that shit is. But yeah, man, like they got potential. But yeah, this is the end of the show, man. Last topic. That was the end of the topics. If y'all like this, yeah, I know, right? I mean, it was actually a good show. You know what I mean? I don't want to end it too early. If y'all like this show, man, y'all already know what to do, man. Go ahead and like, subscribe, comment, share, let other people know in your circle. That's the main thing. Word of mouth is probably still the number one best form of advertisement. So go ahead and do that. We love when you listen. We love when you comment. We got more shows coming up for y'all. We got more topics coming for y'all because, you know, the news is a regular occurrence. So if y'all watching, I just go to beep in my headset. We've been recording for like 2.5 hours and this thing about to die.
My man.
Yeah, I mean, the tech just got me. I feel like I was like a bot. Like I just got frozen for a second, like one of the robots or something.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike. It's like, no.
But yeah, let me wrap this up before this thing die on me. Y'all take it easy out there. But man, Mike, good always talking to you.
Always.
Y'all take it easy. Be safe out there.
Peace.
Peace.